I'm sorry we have to stop the film and you have to listen to me. Who here loves The Incredibles? You're my kind of people. Oh, I'll tell you what, if you've never seen the movie, I recommend that's something you do immediately after service, after your prayer and devotion time, of course. But it's an incredible movie. If I haven't got to meet you yet, I just want to introduce myself real quick. My name is Gene Fletcher, and I have the pleasure of serving our youth. The scary thing is when you put a youth pastor in charge of preaching, you never know what's going to happen. So, but I brought two amazing young men to kind of help keep me grounded today. And we really have some amazing, amazing information for you today. We shared that clip, and if you were here 2 years ago or so, there was a message called Family Fortress, and I played a couple clips from The Incredibles. And I figured since I didn't get fired back then, I had the opportunity to play it again. So it highlights this incredible concept, something that that I aspire to in my life. Like, who here likes superheroes? Anybody? All right. So we love superheroes. We love the action. We love the adventure. We love how they come in and save the day. But there's something extremely inspiring about a family of supers, right? So, and that's one of the things that drew me to Incredibles is because, like you saw in this short clip here, you know, you had the big, strong dad, you had the flexible mom, you had the kids taking care of each other. Like, how cool would it be if you could say that your family is a family of supers, right? And not just in your home, but gosh, let's think about in our church. What if this family was a family of supers? And that's what today is all about. As we bring a close to this like fantastic series, Carl and Roland have done a fantastic job of helping us to navigate and how to move forward with some practical, relevant steps and how we raise just amazing youth and children. Today's going to be a little bit different. We're not going to go over those points. They've done a really good job of that. Our goal today is to offer a youth perspective. A youth perspective when it comes to parenting. One of my favorite scriptures is in Romans chapter 12. It's verses 4 through 8. It says, "For just as each of us has one body." Could everybody say one body? Oh, I'll do this from time to time because in youth, you know, you got to make sure they don't fall asleep. Everybody say one body with many members. "And these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body." Congregation, say one body. "And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." I think it's incredibly important that we not only say it out loud, but we say it in a way that our youth hear, that they are an incredible and critical part of this body. Amen? So we want to recognize with them being a critical part that we want to take time to hear their voice. And so what I did was I just asked. I didn't have to like bribe them or voluntell them or anything like that. They were interested and happy to come up and share from their hearts and their life experience so that we as a congregation can understand some of the truth and some of the things that's easy to dismiss or overlook. And so I asked Mr. Sam Bowers and Mr. Logan Jones, raise your hand if you know either of these individuals. If your hand's not up, your goal by the end of today is to meet them. They are incredible young men. They are already making a powerful impact, not only here at church, but in their communities, at school, in their sports, everywhere they go, they are lights to a darkened world. And I think we should celebrate them for that. Thank you guys for being up here today. So since not everybody raised their hand, I asked these young men if they would prepare just a few tidbits about themselves so that you can get to know them. Do you mind sharing your grade with everyone, some of your hobbies, your greatest fear? It's not being up here, is it? Okay, good. We should have went over that earlier. And since we're going with The Incredibles, what would your superpower be if you could pick?
All right. So I'm Logan, and I'm a freshman at the high school. Some of my hobbies are student council, best buddies. I play baseball and tennis, and I like to play my PS4. My greatest fear is the fear of rejection. And my desired superpower is shape-shifting, so I can shape into a worm and scare my mom.
Anybody else want to be a shapeshifter? Yeah?
I'm in eighth grade. My hobbies, I play tennis, I do martial arts, and I love reading. My greatest fear would be to not be able to control my own fate, so like getting in elevators terrifies me because I'm worried that if it's going to fall, that like I can't do anything about it.
And I can attest to that because we had youth convention a few weeks ago, and we had a lot of, we prayed through some difficult times.
And my desired superpower would have to be invisibility.
Anybody else want to be invisible sometime? Yeah, me too. Well, I just want to thank you guys so much. You can ask probably 90% of the people out here looking forward if they would be terrified to come up here and share their hearts and their experience. I think most of them would say yes, and those that didn't were probably lying. But you guys wouldn't do that. So I just want to thank you. And I was just curious if one of you would mind just kicking us off with prayer, and then we'll jump right into this amazing feedback that the youth perspective has offered.
All right, will you bow your heads with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place and for the opportunity of our youth group to give an insight on our daily struggles, that you would prepare our hearts and minds for what is about to be said. Let us use our own superpowers to ward off any evil that attempts to separate us from you. May you help those in this room to be mindful of the challenges facing our youth today, so that we may leave this place knowing how to do better things through you, Christ Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I could just sit in a room and listen to these young men pray all day long. Thank you so much. You know, in efforts to bring about a relevant and accurate perspective to this conversation, we thought it would not only be important to have these two young men up here talking, but we also wanted to come up with a way to capture the voice of our entire youth group. And we wanted, it's one thing to hear general statistics, you know, in the state of Indiana, it's da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And that's easy to dismiss. But we wanted to come up with something that was super relevant with the students that you are looking at the back of their heads right now, and those that we come into contact with here in this community. So if you wouldn't mind, Logan, can you share a little bit about that survey process? Because not everyone understands kind of like our youth group breakdown and all of that.
So when we conducted these surveys, if you haven't had the opportunity of being with our awesome youth group, we actually separated into two different groups based on age. Our exchange group is 5th, 6th, and 7th graders, and then our collide group is 8th grade and plus. We thought it was crucial to have two separate surveys because there's a huge difference between the intermediate schools and the middle schools versus the high school. And if you want to see some of the statistics that Gene's going to talk about later, it's in your bulletins.
And we will dive into that here in just a moment. I just have to share one of my convictions. I truly believe that life for our students is a battleground. Life for our students is a battleground. And I hope that if that is not a reality for you, I hope that your ears will be open today, that you will take a moment to consider what our students have to go through. Because we can talk about best parenting techniques and practices and all of that, but I think there's something about coming down and looking into the eyes of our youth and listening to what they're going through that will really help take us to the next level when it comes to loving them and supporting them. There's a scripture that I often read, and if you don't know this one, I recommend you put it in a journal or somewhere where you see it so that you remember the battleground. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. Roland did an awesome job speaking on this, and I think it's interesting that the chapter begins with a cry to the students, to the youth to obey, and then he goes on to speak to the adults and the moms and the dads. But the verse that I really want to focus in on is 11 and 12, where it says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." There is no doubt in my mind that these young men and young women are stepping into battles every day, just like you and I. I've invited both of these young men, but Sam offers a very unique perspective, and I have a few questions that they're going to kind of just give feedback, because I think it's so important that you hear it from them. Sam actually was homeschooled until fifth grade, and then now he has been at the public school, and he has an ability and awareness that not all students have that have gone through the traditional school system. And he does a really great job of articulating some of those differences. So I was wondering, Sam, if you would just kind of kick us off, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges that struggles face outside of the home environment?
So at school for me, some of the hardest things are trying to fit in, so being cool, pornography and the issue of kids sending nudes, and drug and alcohol use underage. Fitting at school is hard for me. I don't have an iPhone, and that's the main way kids communicate these days. Also, I jumped into public school in fifth grade, and kids had already made friend groups, so it was hard to get into social status. 90% of all my friends are 1 year older than me because they're from this church, and all my parents' friends had a kid 1 year older than my mom did.
Beat you to the punch.
The few friends that I do have in my grade, they're still mainly homeschooled. So, as it says in Ephesians, that our struggle is against the rulers and authorities of this dark world. It's the same way at school, and I'm not talking about the teachers and the principal, though they're a little dark too. I'm talking about the kid rulers and authorities, the cool kids, the ones who decide who's cool or not. So many people think that they won't get caught up in this cool kid thing, that it doesn't matter that they're cool. But in the end, when they get made fun of, or they lose popularity or anything like that, it actually hits hard home how much it hurts. For the pornography issues, one issue at school is that many, many people send nudes back and forth. It's never been a worry of mine because I don't have a phone, but some of my past friends have actually gotten nudes, and even some have even tried to show me them. The drug and alcohol thing comes down to the cool kid. I have friends that come up to me after school and literally tell me they were just offered drugs right after school. They're basically offered it on school doorsteps. People with these drugs are actually close. Alcohol is a cool thing. If you're at the party and they're passing around the wine or the beer or the vodka or whatever they're passing around, if you want to be the cool kid, you drink some of it or you take some. So it's all about your impression on other people. That's why so many kids actually do drink the alcohol or take the vodka or whatever.
Logan has a slightly different perspective because he's in a different school. He's in ninth grade. Do you mind sharing, like, adding on to that?
So me and Sam's story is a little bit different because I grew up going to school since I can remember, and I believe that social status is a huge, huge factor in the challenges that students face every day. Especially at the high school, many different groups can be seen, and as being part of the student council and being president for many years and being a peer buddy at the school and a possible sophomore president, best buddies, playing two sports, and many other activities, I've gotten to know everyone pretty well, and I could go up to anyone at the school and have a full-fledged conversation with them. However, I know this isn't the case for everybody, and I feel like extracurricular activities are important for your kids so that they can share common interests with other kids, and this is one of the largest issues, and I think that's a fix that could be made in order to for them not to feel left out. And then also, another problem that I've run into as I have entered my high school career is vaping. And we always call, me and my friends, we call the bathrooms the fruit basket. And that's due to the insane amount of vapors in the bathroom. And you can smell every single fruit that's in there. It's ridiculous. I'm exposed to it every single day. And as a student who experiences this, I encourage all of the parents of upcoming students, all of my friends' younger siblings and their parents, to talk with their child about vaping and the negative consequences it can have on them. Because as you see, as you grow up in the high school, 1/4 of high school kids vape, and it's a pretty big statistic.
So just hearing that little bit, would you agree that it is a battleground? I think an important question that we have to ask as a community of faith is, how does your faith help with that? And gentlemen, I'm going to turn the stage back over to you all. How would you say that your faith has helped you to overcome some of these and maybe any other temptations?
Well, my faith has allowed me to have morals so I can stick to in many situations. many occasions I think about Matthew 6, 1 through 15, where it talks about getting rewards from God in heaven and not people on earth, and that we should think about what God thinks of us and not what other people do. It's allowed me to look past kind of what other people say to me or want me to do, so that way I can only focus in on what God wants me to do. It's one of the things my faith has allowed me to do. But another thing is that having a faith has allowed me to have a community here at this church. And I don't have to worry about fitting in at school as much because I can always know that I have friends here and mentors here that I can always lean on.
You guys hear how important and how critical this faith community is? Not just for this young man, but the story, it multiplies. Go ahead, Logan.
My parents have been so good to me in the fact that they have no problem discussing any of the issues that are presented to me at the high school. I feel like open communication is something that my parents stress me a lot. And every day when I come home from school, my parents get home from work, my mom always asks me, "How was your day?" I usually respond, "Boring, good." And she gives me that evil mom eye, like, "Tell me more."
Evil mom eye.
This has always helped me to be completely honest with them, and I feel like I can talk to them about anything. They're brutally honest, and sometimes it can be hard, but when they're brutally honest with me, it helps me understand the situation better, and then I won't be affected by the negative effects. They're also my biggest supporters in my efforts to stop special education bullying at the high school. And this is kind of rough. A few days before Halloween, a kid at lunch looked at my own best buddy from Best Buddies. His name's Roland. And he remarked, "How funny it would be if that cabbage head dressed up like a vegetable. Let's call it retarded veggie tails." My parents had prepared me for moments like this, and I faced other situations like this before. And I feel like because of what they had taught me, I handled the situation well.
Does anyone get a little angry when you hear these things? Anybody shocked by it? It's crazy. You know, we've been talking a lot about how to parent well, and Logan, I appreciate you giving specifics about how your parents help with stuff like that. Sam, do you have anything to add? What are some things that your parents specifically have done for you that you just know has helped you?
So keeping the faith is big. My parents read me devotions in the morning, talk to me about the Bible, and always answer my questions. They pray for me daily. If I have the faith, then I can use all the tools that the faith allows me to fight through this world. But outside of the faith, they always ask me how my day has been. And being the typical teenager, I respond, "Good." And every time. But my parents forced me to tell me more. And over time, I've actually enjoyed being able to tell them school stories. And it's made a difference knowing I can always talk to them. But another thing is that I have other mentors besides my parents. Gene, my extended family, my parents' friends, and their kids. Gene's, of course, my youth pastor, but he's also my Taekwondo coach. And even coaches are a big deal, too. I see him often, and I'm able to get help from him. My extended family is big. My cousins, they help me with a ton all the time. One cousin helped me to plan my testimony. Another is a youth volunteer. Another hangs out with me a lot, and we're able to be nerds together. I love them all. And then there's my parents' friends and their kids, and me being able to lean on them when I can't tell my parents something, and being able to be friends with their kids. I think this is the main reason I'm able to survive school in this crazy world.
That's a powerful truth that I hope you all never forget. You are an integral part of the network that is helping these young men and young women to stand when it would be so easy to just fall. In your bulletins, everyone should have, and I have extras if it didn't get into your bullet, but if you'll pull out, there's an insert in there that has some of the statistics relevant to our youth. And just like Logan mentioned, I was just blown away by the honesty of our youth. I'm so grateful that our youth were able to be vulnerable and to be honest and to share, just like these young men are doing. And I wanted to share some of these statistics with you. Now, I could just send that home with you and you stuff it somewhere in the console and forget about it, but I'm going to read it to you so that you can see it and hear it. Then hopefully, like me, your heart will be inspired to move and to do something and to continue to uplift these youth. Real quick summary, there were a few patterns that are worth noting in all of the students' answers. The easiest conclusion, and one that could probably be expected, is the stark difference between how students feel at home compared to how they feel at school, especially in matters of feeling supported, encouraged, noticed, and free to talk about matters of faith. In short, the majority of Catalyst students scored highly in the areas focused on healthy home environments, which is fantastic, but please know that not everybody scored highly on those. We should also be aware of the fact that only half of our students feel comfortable asking questions or talking about faith with friends and peers. So let's jump into some of the numbers. Keep in mind that these questions are all focused around within the last 30 days of the survey being taken. So the questions that were asked, this isn't something that could have happened a long time ago. It was in the last 30 days. 29% of all the youth at Catalyst that were surveyed had been pressured to do something that they know is wrong. 47 of them have been bullied or made fun of. That's almost half. 73% of all of our students have done or said something that they wish that they hadn't. And 67% have seen or heard something that they wish they hadn't. Almost 40% of our youth have felt very alone or unnoticed. 44% of our youth surveyed felt sad and they didn't know how to tell anyone. 34% of all of our youth have felt that they had had to keep a secret and they didn't want to. 38% of our youth strongly agree that their family really know them and what is going on in their life. 6% of our youth strongly agree that their parents often ask them how to pray for them. 85%, this is an encouraging number, strongly agree that their parents are proud of them. 65% strongly agree that their family is a strong Christian family. 37% of our youth agree that their parents often teach them what it means to be a man or woman of God. 20% of all Catalyst youth strongly agree that their parents often share stories of their relationship with God. And I have to admit, that one hit me right between the eyes because I know my children answered low on that one. It's easy to get caught up in teaching and you know, the to-dos, but to actually share what's going on and what's relevant in my faith journey, convicted. I'm going to jump down to the bottom so you can review these and you can have these. But as Logan mentioned, we did a specific small group study with our older youth, our Collide group, and that's grades 8 and up. And some of the numbers here are quite alarming. 70% of our Collide students surveyed have witnessed other students vaping, which tied right into what Logan was sharing. 10% of our Collide students have tried vaping. 35% of our Collide students have witnessed other students doing drugs. 20% have friends who drink alcohol. 55% of the Collide students have friends who have sent or received nudes. That's more than half. That's, I don't know about you, but that surprised me. Little over 5% of Collide students have sent or received the nudes. And just over 63% of the Catalyst Collide students surveyed said that most students in their grade know where to get drugs if they want. I hope you join me and share a sense of burden and urgency when you hear these statistics. It's so easy to get lost in the day-to-day and busyness of adult life that we simply forget about the things that they're staring at every day. And to consider how quickly they grow. Can I get an amen? Remember when you held them like this and now they can hold you? It's crazy. Time's flying by. So when we compare all those numbers to this crazy statistic, and I'm just going to promote this book real quick because it is rocking my world. All parents, if you haven't read this book, I recommend it. It's called Sticky Faith by Dr. Kara Powell and Chap Clark. They do a phenomenal job of helping us know how to move forward and navigate. This statistic comes from that book. 40 to 50% of kids who graduate from a church or youth group will fail to stick with their faith in college. 40 to 50%. 20% of them had planned to do so, but 80% of them had no intentions on giving up on their faith. So I hope you hear me loud and clear, parents, mentors, family members, friends. We need to make it a priority to prepare our students for the pivotal moment when they enter the season of high school graduation and college. So the big question is, how do we do that? Carl and Roland have done an excellent job springboarding that and teaching us how to set the trajectory for our students in a positive direction. They've done a fantastic job of that. So what I would like to do right now is invite each one of you to close your eyes. And I'm going to take you on a little trip down memory lane of some of the teachings that our wonderful pastors shared with us. And as I read these off slowly, I want you to really take personal inventory of areas that you know God is calling you to improve upon. Weaknesses are not a bad thing as long as we learn from them and grow. So let's take a few moments to listen to these 10 reminders and ask God to help us to improve in each area. We forgive frequently. We nurture our children through practical applications of faith. We teach by personal example. We correct our children without condemning them. We allow our children to paint their own pictures. We consistently pray with and pray for our children. We do not discipline in an undisciplined manner. We are careful to communicate why and how we are disciplining our children. We are careful that we are consistent and that we follow through. We are encouragers. We are present, we are verbal, and we are loving. Father God, I pray that your Spirit will not only prompt those areas that need improvement in our lives, but Father, that you will encourage us to move to action, that we will be so moved by the needs of our students that we have no choice but to follow your lead. We need you. And it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Sam Logan, you all can duke it out of who goes first. I'm curious what advice you would have to give to the parents and mentors. And that's another thing I just want to just grab you and shake you. You don't have to have children to invest in our youth. You don't have to be a parent to invest in our youth. They need you. No matter what your background is, they need you. We need an army. What advice would you give to parents and mentors as you think about your peers, friends, and students that you see every day at school? How can all of us help you to reach your highest potential?
So I would highly recommend other parents and mentors to encourage their kids to be open about everything to them on a day-to-day basis. You're going to hear things that you don't necessarily agree with, but you have to understand that we're just sharing with you, and you have to keep an open mind. Not only have my parents taught me how to reach my highest potential, but Gene has been outstanding on taking what they've taught me about being a young man and connecting it with God. And I believe that quality time with your family is very important. As yesterday was my birthday, my parents took me out to eat, and they spoiled me a whole bunch. But the time together with them was just so special, and I feel like that's important.
So this last year and a little bit of the year before that one, my dad has taken me through a year of learning how to be a man of God. Through this year, all my uncles, my grandpa, So my grandpa's friends, a lot of my dad's friends, have taught me what it means to be a man of God. And it's good to know that I'm always able to lean on them. It's cool to know how big of a support group I have. There's a verse I want to share with you. It's Proverbs 27:17. It says, just as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Amen. And the more people you have sharpening you, the sharper you can be. And that's truly what I believe it is. It's being able to have one kid to have a lot of mentors is always good, because the more they have, the better.
Can we just show them some love and appreciation? Thank you guys so much. I have the best job in the world because I get inspired by people like this. I mean, they're incredible. So grateful for your honesty. So grateful that you're willing to stand, but you stayed pretty chill. And speak truth when sometimes it's hard to do. If you would, on the back of that statistics page, Mama P and I, when we work with the youth, we always like to challenge our youth. And so I figured, you're just older kids, so here we go. On the back of that statistic sheet, I have three personal challenges for you. And I pray and I hope that you won't just throw this away on the way out. I pray that this is something that you will put where you'll see it. Maybe hang it on your refrigerator, but consider it. There's three things, and you have a deadline on each of them. Anybody here need a deadline? Wow, me too. All right, in this next week, before Sunday, I challenge you to go back and review the prior teaching notes, the podcasts, all the hours that were spent by Roland and Carl that they poured in. You have a wealth of wonderful material. And if you need help connecting with that, please just let anybody with a name tag know and we'll get you connected, all right? So review all of that. And don't just review it so you can forget it, but find an accountability partner who will follow up with you on those areas of weakness that you know you need help with. Can you do that? Challenge number two, within the next 3 days, I want you to learn your love language. Learn your spouse's love language, if applicable. Learn your children's love language. Interesting statistic, because we do love language studies next door. 43% of our students agreed that their parents know their love language. So that's less than half. And then 45% know their parents' love language. So for my family, it has been a lot of fun to not only do the quizzes that they have online, and notice that I have the reference on there for you. I also have hard copies. If you're old school, I'd be happy to give them to you. Lots of them. All right. But it's a lot of fun because you not only learn about each other, but you learn how to love each other better. And then it also changes over time. So it's a lot of fun. I'd like to invite you, I challenge you to engage in that process. And then the last challenge for you is by the end of today. End of today, I want you to schedule and communicate it. Don't just schedule it in your book and don't tell nobody. All right, I want you to schedule a reoccurring time that works for you and for your family to pray with your students and with your spouse. 6% of our students strongly agree that their parents often ask them how to pray. That's 6%. I would love for that number to skyrocket up. We can do that, but we have to be intentional about it. 18% of our students strongly agreed that their parents pray together weekly other than mealtimes. 18%. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're doing a fantastic job in many, many, many regards. But I promise, if we all follow through on these challenges, we are going to impact the lives of these students, and we are going to change this community for the glory of God. Anybody willing to stand up and accept the challenge? Let's all stand together. I'll give you time to pray. I'm not just going to jump into something, Gene. I gotta think about it. Let's pray together, and then I'm going to invite Nate and the worship band to come up and lead us in communion. Father God, I just want to thank you so much for how your Spirit moves. I want to thank you so much for being here. I want to thank you, Lord, for just all the encouragement. Lord, I'm reminded from the the worship team this morning that fear has nothing on you. You can overcome all of that. And Father, when we stare at these statistics and it's easy for parents to worry and be afraid and just freak out and lose it, Father, help us to remember that you've got it. You've got it. We just got to keep pressing into you. And Lord, we thank you for doing better with our problems than we ever could imagine. We love you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. It's in Christ Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Was anyone here challenged and encouraged by Gene and these two young men today? Give them a round of applause, please. We are so very blessed to have Gene on staff here, speaking into the lives of these young men and women, because this is the next legacy of faith that we pass down. And I am excited to see what God is going to do in the lives of these young men and women. But I want to echo what Gene just talked about. Don't just stand here and listen to these things. Don't even let them, you know, some of these things made me angry today. Some of these things shocked me today. Be intentional with this. Let this spurn you on to action. Do these challenges. I promise you the love language things is fun, but it will also pay dividends in the lives of you and your families. And praying. I promise you, I know sometimes it's not the easiest thing to do, but be intentional with your kids. Ask your children, what can I pray for you for? And then come together as a family, as a husband and a wife with your kids. And even if you're not married, even if it's just you, you can still get down on your knees and pray for these kids and for this church and for this family and this congregation of believers. And finally, and most importantly, if God has laid on your heart a challenge that you want to minister to these kids, Gene can always use more volunteers, okay? So please, if God's laid that on your heart, if that's one way that that he has put on your heart to do so, please seek out Gene. We would love to have you as another mentor in the lives of these young men and women. Today, we get to come together. We get to come together to celebrate Holy Communion. The Eucharist. And I think it's extremely apropos as we come together that the original Greek word Eucharisto literally translates to mean thanksgiving, to give thanks. So today, what we're going to do is I'd like us to stand as we come together. The front rows are going to start first. You'll come up here. You'll receive the elements from these two young men who are going to serve them to you. And I'd like you to hold them, to take them back to your seat with you so we can take together as a body of believers. But as you listen to the worship band lead us in worship, I'd ask you to close your eyes and pray and simply spend some time in thanksgiving, giving thanks to the one who laid down his life for you, to the one who gave himself up as a ransom for many, so that we're not slaves to fear any longer, because we're children of God and Jesus Christ, your Savior, has reconnected us with our Father. So spend some time in thanks today. First row, you guys can come.